welcome back to another episode of the Skits and Giggles podcast. For this one, we dive deep into helping Bryson on his path back from a double fib fracture by laying out our own experiences with coming back from injuries, the general principles and protocols, as well as the many pitfalls and misconceptions on the way back to a fuller strength. We are very grateful for Dave Spielmann to volunteer his time and the expertise he never wanted for this episode, and for sharing many of his painful and challenging experiences, both from the perspective of a professional mountain biker, but more importantly, also as a fellow human struggling with pain, discomfort, and uncertainty. We are also grateful for the many inputs and voice messages through our SpeakPipe. It really helped us bring this episode together and to talk about a topic that no one really likes to talk about. For more information about this episode and the Skits and Giggles podcast, you can just follow the links in the description. To support the podcast, please share this episode with your riding buddies or leave us a 5-star rating on your favorite platform. That's it. That's all, Skigglers. And here's our chat with Dave Spielmann. Welcome back to the Skits and Giggles podcast. Dave Spielmann, how are you tonight?
Hey guys, it's great to be back here, and I feel very honored that I'm from almost 80 episodes, the one who is invited by the second time. And yeah, I'm really looking forward. And the topic today is a topic which I unfortunately feel kind of an expert and therefore looking really forward, and hopefully with some good suggestion for all the guys and girls out there.
Okay, thank you. Bryson, how are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling right. I got my foot up on my Swiss ball. I have two good buddies knowledgeable in the craft of recovery aiding me tonight, and I'm really looking forward to having you guys give me the lowdown on what I need to do to get better, get back on the bike.
All right. Well, that's exactly the premise of tonight's episode. We have had a couple of ideas what we want to do with this recovery process of Bryson's broken leg. We started a couple of experiments. We got very, very, very good ideas back, very good inputs. And we thought there is more to this issue and more to this topic. And that's why we sit down with Dave tonight, who sent us one actually of the more insightful responses. And I think I'm just summarizing it. We want to lay out the general principles and actionable protocols for Bryson to follow to get back to riding his bike and having fun. So Bryson, why don't you start with briefly laying out what actually happened and what you have done so far?
Yeah, so grateful for you guys. I was doing a little bit of off-season indoor court activities, and I don't know, it was kind of a freak accident. I was running and then stopping, and then my leg didn't stop. So I kind of, I fractured two places on my fibula, left leg, near the ankle. Was immediately put into a cast. Came out of the cast almost 2 weeks later. Got put into a brace. I was told that it set properly so I could start walking on it, which seemed excruciating at the time, but eventually the the sensation went away and I was able to put more weight on it and start moving around. But most of my days were sitting back, using all my energy for healing. And yeah, it was actually very bothersome to try to move around. So I was mostly just sitting back, resting, catching up on some Netflix, I guess. But yeah, the tip I was given just casually from kind of anyone I talked to, which wasn't a lot of people. I didn't really reach out. I was doing my utmost to just relax and just stay laid back, basically. But from everywhere I was turning, it was just like, hey, relax. Don't do anything. When you have the energy, try moving about. Try getting some weight on it. Making sure you're taking care of eating properly, getting rest, drinking properly. And going to see the physio once once it's available. So that's what I did. I had quite a few sessions. We ramped up really quick in the beginning with two sessions per week, and helped me like get all the fluids out of there and getting the swelling down, getting the mobility back. I'm still in that process. It's still swollen. I have a bit of a less fatter foot. It's still a fat foot. It's still a cankle, so a calf ankle. It's a really big ankle. It's really swollen. It's still swollen. But I can walk now, so I'm super grateful. I don't have to use the brace. I have comfort in not using it. I don't have full range of motion. But that's coming back through all the physio exercises I'm doing and more and more walking. Like every day I can kind of sense that I'm walking with less of this little hop or limp, I guess. Looking forward to the day where I don't have to like show off this signature limp where people are like, what happened to him? You know, cause sometimes it's a little embarrassing. I mean, it's the first time I've broken something. So that's also why I need a little bit of tips and tricks from you guys. Cause you guys are veterans in the breaking game. really, it's the first bone I've broken. I might have bruised things in the past, which wasn't such a bad, the recovery process was kind of like in the back of my mind, and I was more focused on just keep doing what I was doing and letting it heal. Like I was quite young, so wasn't really bothersome. But this one's taken a toll, and it's also taken a toll psychologically. Maybe it was because I had the time to just relax and do nothing and kind of examine and reflect on where I've been and what I've been doing up until now. I can't exactly pinpoint it, but I'm still working on that, of course. It's in my mind. But I've definitely noticed a change. So I'm looking forward to hear anything you guys have to offer. I know you're not doctors, but you definitely are in the right lane of giving me the advice that I need, because I want to get back on the bike. I want it to be a summer shred. And please, I have two gurus.
Now, one question, Bryson. When the accident happened, how long is it now?
That was 23rd, I got to say. 22nd or 23rd of February. I don't remember the exact date.
It's almost 6 weeks now, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on good track.
I think so. My physio actually agrees with this.
Yeah, but that's like with everything, right? So it's 80%, that's super easy, and the last 20% is where the big mistakes happen, and you overdo it and you rush into it and you get a bit too excited. I think that's, already one of the first points we want to make. I guess from all of us, we have to say we are speaking from experience, from our own experiences with our own injuries. We are not medical professionals. So if you do have any questions or concerns about what we say, then please do check that with your own doctor or medical professional of trust. And with that, I think we get going. So that sounds like not a great experience. Double fib fracture doesn't sound great, especially not above the ankle. Dave, I know you've had your fair share of injuries. Maybe can you lay out a little bit, just, you know, on the spectrum of things, where does Bryson's injury kind of figure in all of that?
I'll say every injury is a bad one. And it doesn't matter if you have 20 bones broken or one bone broken. If you have one bone broken, it affects you. And every injury and every accident interrupts your whole integrity of yourself. And you always can say, oh, there is much bigger things going on others, and others survive this and others survive that, whatever. But for you now, what you have is your issue. And therefore, I think to scale things, it can help at some point, because you can think of yourself, okay, it's not that bad. And if this guy was working through this bad injury, I can do that. I'm strong enough to do that. This can help you on the mental side. But yeah, perhaps it's interesting for the guys out there or for the listeners out there that they know a bit why we say, oh, there are two oldies who has their experience. And yeah, let's say my career of injuries started. I'm now almost 40 years old and my career started, I think, the bad stuff started about 25 years ago in my teenage times. Several broken bones, broken shoulder blades, broken hands, broken fingers. And then with 20, it really, the shit hit the fan. I had a very bad accident while I was working in construction. Like a big excavator cut my right arm off. I was really bad. And if I would not have the luck of all in the rescue chain, everything worked well, and I really got in the right hospital to the right doctors, to the absolute great, crazy guys, which saved my arm within hours and hours, hours of operations. I was 6 weeks in hospital and stuff like that, had 8 to 9 operations, stuff from my bone from my hip in my arm, and skin from my leg to cover my arm, stuff like that. A really, really bad one. But yeah, I didn't stop there. I think lots of my experience, I can relate to this time of recovery, because it really was a tough one. But I was 20 years old. I had another energy level. And then over the whole time, I started mountain biking a couple of years later. Yeah, until then, or from 20 to about 27, 28, I just hurt myself when I was going out, and I also had some issues there, but that not crazy stuff to mention. But then with mountain biking, yeah, I injured my shoulder pretty bad. I had some problems with my feet. What else happened? The Handgelenk. Wrist injury, and yeah, a couple of more of operations. And then in the last podcast 2 years ago, I told you as well that I had some other like illness issues, and also this recovery, it's also hard. And the very last one, which I'm still in the recovery process, was a slipped disc in my lower back after going too hard after appendix, and I started too early doing stuff, and that was not good for my back, and that slipped disc, and then I was limping, Bryson, for almost 6 months, and nobody could tell me if it's going to be working or if it's going to be good or not. I couldn't bike. Last summer I was not on the bike because my heel was not holding up, because my calves didn't work. Yeah, therefore that's just a couple I'm sure I forgot some stuff, but this is where I got my expertise over the last 20 years.
School of life.
Yeah. And also, I'm very particular about things, and I work very closely together with physio all over the time. I had some pretty bad back issues the last 20 years anyway, and stuff like that. And I really hope I can outline some stuff tonight and help you, Bryson. And one thing which I already heard, if it's still swollen, then you still have an inflammation down there. And this inflammation after 6 weeks, that also means your body needs to rest. This is what I learned as well the hard way. Because if you start too early, if you push it too early, if you're not patient enough, then it goes much longer than you want to be. I think this is one of the most important things during recovery process. Patience is the word. This is the thing. And then the balance, when you go, when you don't go, when you move, who you're surrounded with, and all that stuff. But I think let's go one by one. First, patience. And if you still have an inflammation, pace it down.
That's a good one, actually. I feel like I've been jumping the gun, because it's like you can see the improvements. So I thought, okay, yeah, let's push a little further. Let's walk a little more. Let's try more activities. Let's try to be more active. And yeah, I mean, it's good one. I like that.
We all want to go fast. And we go, okay, it has to end now. I want to go on the bike in 2 weeks or whatever. And the doctor said it's 6 weeks now. And after 6 weeks, the bone is healed. But there's another, I think, unsatisfying news. Until the doctor says it's good, then the real work starts.
Mm-hmm.
Because from then on, you lose so much during that time. And the older you get, the faster you lose it. And yeah, almost 40, but it's not old, but it's kind of old. Penn's eyes older.
Exactly. It's like, what are you two young whippersnappers talking about?
No, but that's another very big thing. I think every recovery process has different stages. And you have to go through all of them. Perhaps just short ones, but you have to go through them. And I'm happy if you're going through the stages. But what I'm also curious to know, why is Mr. Penza such an expert?
Well, it's generally, as with many things in my life, it's a general lack of talent. So it's you know, the usual accident stuff. You know, be it crashes with the, but it's mostly bike crashes, and which have been either my mistake or. Mostly my mistake, but there's also been a couple which have not been my mistake. So there was, you know, this the panic scenario for every road cyclist is, of course, that what is known as being doored. So when someone opens a car door in your trajectory, which destroyed my entire right side with a separated separated hand. Hand joint, so between the fingers, so that's where the door caught and dislocated my right shoulder in that too. So that was, I mean, that was more of a mental issue than just drive. Still today, when I'm riding past cars, I take extra safety distance away from the doors, because that is just a panic moment when that happens again. But there's been, you know, others, silly things. You know, slipped out in the corner, wearing knee pads, but said knee pads had venting holes, and a rock slammed through the venting hole and into my kneecap, which, you know, which then gave me like very nasty bone bruise. And, you know, if anyone ever had a bone bruise, he would tell you that, yes, it's great that it's not broken, but the recovery from that is much, much, much longer than a broken bone, or can be. Certainly was in my instance. So it was over 6 months of, you know, to get that bruising out and you know, just trying to get the mobility back. It's also where a lot of the mistakes happen, right? So it's kind of, yeah, so when I hear Bryson talk about like, oh, yeah, you know, kind of the mobility back, I can put pressure on it again. You know, that pushing against the pain, you know, especially when you're coming from, let's say, an endurance sport background, let's say you're, you know, swimming is terrible for these things, cycling is terrible for these things, track athletes are terrible for pushing against pain. If that is your mentality, that you're always fighting against pain. So let's say you do threshold intervals on the bike, right? So that's exactly the same as pushing against the pain in your knee. And how long can you hold it, right? So how long can you deal with it? And that same mentality applies to you know, to the recovery and to the giving yourself time. So basically it's really, if you still feel pain, that should give you an indication of, hey, something is not quite right. And that should give you a moment of pause where you ask yourself, is what I'm doing, is that what I should be doing right now to be better in a couple of weeks?
100%.
Luckily, I don't have any pain. I just have basically where I never saw limits in my movement, like the angle of the foot, ankle, I have limits like at the ends, right? But there's no pain there. It's just like it's blocked. It's kind of like someone stuck an eraser in my shoe and I just can't move it any further. yeah, but luckily I don't have any pain, but I do have swelling. So.
And I think Pascal outlined it very, very good at the end. it all depends where you come from and where you want to go and how much time you give yourself to go there. And I think time and patience and pain, this is like a triangle which is very important when we talk about these processes. And what I really learned, but I learned it not in the first attempt, to listen and understand your body. And with my last, let's call it injury, with my back issue, I really had to learn stuff new, to listen to the body in a new way, and to accept that some stuff at that point wasn't possible, and to do everything which my body or also my mind has enough capacity to heal. And there is a lot of stuff out there. You just have to put on Instagram hashtag healing, and then you find 1 billion things how you can do. But there is some good stuff out there as well, because I was like, especially with my back now, I saw many interesting stuff which I tried, and there I figured out I was puzzling with help, and it comes to my next point, to get better. But you said, Bryson, that you already had a physio and you were going all in, and that this is also very important, all in, like 2 sessions a week. I think that's another very important part which I wanted to highlight quite early, that you have some support from a very beginning on. At the end of the day, the hard work and all the mental things in the process you need to do by yourself, but you need support. When you look at professional athletes after an injury, how much support they have, how much science is going into their recovery, how much support they have on their mental side, etc., how much they care about nutrition, sleep, and all these things to get back as soon as possible, because their time is money. This is also something which should apply for all of us. And that means you have to have a good physio, you have to have an understanding in your family that you need time, you need support, and you also there are times which you just need like a supporting voice, or your mama is saying all will be fine. Sometimes this is also very important that you don't stop believing. Oh, that's a song. Don't stop. Oh, no, I don't want to sing now here.
No, please don't.
Wrong podcast.
No, that would be bad. Sorry. That would be the worst episode you ever have. No, but this is also something, and we're scratching on many different things now, and it's interesting how we bring these things together, because we already had like patience, we have the mental side, we have the process, the support, and at the end of the day, you need to be your own to have a good process. You need to be an expert of yourself and not forcing yourself. But if you don't force you at all, perhaps it's also bad influence. You need to find this balance in between forcing you and in between resting. And that's why important that you accept that there are different phases, different stages of it. In the very beginning, you can sit on your couch and watching Netflix and eating as much as you can, because your body needs energy. And your body needs all the energy to heal at that specific point in your body which is injured and hurt. But there is a time which you need to feel to stop doing the Netflix and sitting down. And then you need to start moving, but not too much moving. Also balance. It's just a balance thing. And you need to have the support. You need to have people which you trust, which telling you, okay, you can do this, you can do that. But that's also, I found out there are almost in every village, there are like 4 or 5 physios. And I do not want to hurt any physio out there, but there are really good ones and there are really bad ones. And it's the same like with the girlfriend or the boyfriend. There's some connections are not fitting. It's the same with physios. If you do not feel comfortable, if you do not feel right, change it. Change it immediately, because it needs to fit. And some physios, they became real friends of mine because I spent so much time there. and you need to establish a relationship to these people who are helping you. For example, when I hurt my arm, I had to do ergotherapy because my nerves were not connecting to my hand. That meant I couldn't move my especially my thumb for like 9 months. Couldn't. That was really useless. I couldn't do thumb up. No, it was bad. No. And then I went 2 times a week to the ergotherapist, and what I did is, it was always 8:15 in the morning, like Tuesday and Thursday. And that gives me another point. I was there and I had this social network there, and it was like for 9 months and I couldn't do anything in that time. No, I was going out in the nights. I was 20 years old.
I'm sure that
And this was very important to establish this relationship and to be trustful, and to these people also gave him motivation, and that was very important that I had the right people there. And the other thing which is quite important, that brings me right to the next point, is you need to live like a healthy life, even more when you're injured, because the body needs the energy. And if you are going out or drinking, you can drink beer when you're hurt. No offense to drinking beer, but do it in a balanced way. Prioritize your sleep, prioritize your food. But it's also, your body will heal almost anyway, because the body is quite amazing. But if you want to have a proper healing, and if you want to be stronger than before, and most of the people say, oh, now an injury and I come back stronger than before, this is not happening overnight. And this is not happening without you doing a lot of work. And until the doctor says you're good to go, it's a very, very balanced work. But after the doctor says you can go, then the work starts, because you lost muscles, you lost your fitness, you lost so many things over that period. And it's crazy how much muscle mass you lose after 6 weeks. Sorry, Bryson, to say that, but it is just crazy. And the older you get, the crazier it is. And women is also different to men and stuff like that. And yeah, I'm not a specialist, but it's just crazy. And that means you have to build up. And this is one point where many people are doing mistakes, because they're going either not clever in this process, and that's just going back to what I did before, stupid. And it's also another topic, or another thought to think. You did some indoor sports and you were stopping and your leg was not stopping. That means, sorry to say that was kind of a weakness there, which was around that lower leg. That means perhaps due to biking, you had your other muscles much more strength on it, or much more power in these muscles, but the muscles used there were not strong enough. And that's very important for your work now, because this is also, nobody will hear that because this is a mountain bike podcast. But if we guys only do mountain biking, if you do not only mountain bike, that's not the healthiest way for our body. Even without slamming down, even without crashes, it's not our body is not meant to mountain bike 3 to 4 to 5 times a week. Our body is meant to run, to lift, to do all the other stuff. But the guy who invented us didn't invent mountain bikes. Huh? This is an important thing to think about. And that means, if you want to be a good biker, and if you are going for longevity, if you're going for a sustainable body, you need to train and you need to compensate your whole system, what you're doing on a bike. And this, I learned that really the hard way. I learned that the hard way. This is why I put an exclamation mark on the back of that sentence. Sorry, there was a lot of topics. Sorry, I'm just going. You have to stop me, guys.
No, I mean, it's good. I mean, so first I want to stop, pause, and give a shout out to the guys that sent us the voice messages, because of a lot of the things that we are now talking about have also been highlighted in a couple of the messages. So just to recap, is to trust the process. What is the process? The process is to consult a medical professional that gives you a timeline, that gives you the specialists, that gives you the exercise, that gives you all these kind of things. to surround yourself with people you trust that goes beyond the medical professionals and that give you, you know, the inputs and the support that you need to focus on your general health. That means clean eating, clean sleeping, living like a monk, which you should generally do. That's my recommendation. But, you know, I'm not preaching any of that. But generally, there is a benefit to living a clean life. So that means clean diet and, you know, generally getting enough, more than enough sleep and looking after yourself. And the patience and trusting in this pyramid, for lack of a better word, that you build around yourself to support you back towards where you want to be. I think those are the key principles. What I want to get back to is strength training, which you have pointed out. And again, you know, everyone says like, oh, you know, roadies, they're terrible because they have even worse muscle mass than the mountain bikers. So it's not that bad. Mountain biking is actually good. You know, there is something a little bit to that, but it's really not. And of course, in on the roadside and in cross-country side, it's obviously frowned upon to carry more muscle mass than you really have to. But as a member of the general population, no one cares about your watts per kilo. It really doesn't matter. You want to be a decent human being and you want to be able to do all the things like playing basketball over lunch or carry heavy things or carry your kids around or whatever it is. So generally, a strength training routine is something that will support not only a general lifestyle, but also your, you know, injury prevention in fall of a crash and just general mishaps.
Yeah, and it will also improve your mountain biking. And that's a good thing about, that's a very good thing. And sorry to jump back in, because there is one thing you mentioned about the clean eating, about the energy, about sleeping. I just remembered, I think when I dislocated my shoulder 5-6 years ago, I was like in a full guiding season. And you know me, guys. I'm 190 kilos. I'm not a small person, and I eat a lot. Especially when I'm doing a lot of things and when I'm stressed and a lot of stuff, I was eating like an animal, like a bear before going to this winter sleep. That was like my, I do not know how many calories, but it was a lot. And then I injured my shoulder, like in September or something. My body took a break, and this is another topic we can talk later. And my body took me out, and like for 3 weeks, it needed so much energy to heal. I was on the sofa for about 3 weeks because I was so tired and was so fucked up. Sorry, yeah, I can swear. I can swear. Oh, yeah. No problem here. Yeah. It's not going to America. I was really fucked up, and for 3 weeks I was eating the same amounts of food as I would do, like full guiding, 7-hour bike rides a day, strength training, all the stuff I did back then when I was healthy. But I ate for 3 weeks straight the same amount. And then after 3 weeks, I recognized, well, I cannot eat that much anymore. It doesn't work. And also my body started to grow and on places which shouldn't grow. But what I realized then, that I needed the energy to heal. I needed the energy to recover, to eat so much calories and so much food. And this is something which you have to take into account. It needs a lot of energy to heal. And that's why it's so important because I'm lying around the whole day. Yeah, but if you have your phone in front of your nose and watching like 7 episodes of Netflix and crime and whatever, your body is not really recovering. And I know you don't want to hear that out there, but there is a little experience to it. And therefore, I would really recommend what Pascal just said. Prioritize your sleep, prioritize your hydration, prioritize your food, prioritize also your social networking due that time, because that's also very helping. And I do not know if that's already the point to jump into that. Every injury or every recovery has a physical side, and every recovery has a mental side on it. we can go that far that every injury has a mental aspect of it and how you look at it and why it happened. But I think that would really break the room here. But that's something which I really would like to talk about now or later, and that people are aware of that. And I'm 100% sure that with you, with your mindset, and I think you said it before, Pascal, from one of the guys who did sent in the clips, he said it as well, or some of them said it, the mindset is key to have a proper healing process. And it needs the right mindset at the right time. To go full aggressive mode from day one, that's stupid. It will not work. It needs to be balanced. This balance is so important. A balanced mindset and also balanced physical activity, having the network around you. These are already 4 points which I would really put high up on the to-do list when you're injured.
Absolutely. I guess the mental aspect is something I definitely want to talk about. And I mean, I guess there is because there's two aspects to the mental mental health issue, right? So there's obviously the one aspect which is very direct, which is someone like a professional that is, you know, prevented from doing his work because of injury, which obviously puts a lot of different pressures on the situation than for someone that, you know, does a hobby, has an injury and cannot do their hobby. But I think, and that's certainly something for me in my previous life, right? So I've used sports and training certainly as a balance and as an outlet for a lot of the stress and a lot of, you know, a lot of other things.
It kept you sane.
That's what it is. It kept me sane. And there is also, I mean, that's something I see today with, you know, people I work with that are, you know, for stress reasons or injury reasons, cannot do their training, that cannot do their activity. And then after a couple of days of missing out, they fall into this hole of like, they're feeling bad about missing their activity. They really start stressing out about missing out and all that. And that's also something you need to be aware of and build into your process. And that also, that's one of the messages that was sent in, is like, one guy specifically said, like, look, you're going to be off the bike for X amount of months. You need to look for something to do with the time that you would have normally done the hobby that you're, you know, not able to do right now, right? So let's say you start painting, or you start singing, or you start writing poems, just something to fill the space on the one hand, but also give you that outlet of creativity and energy and focus.
And it shouldn't be just consuming stuff passively. I think, because what keeps you sane doing sports, being out there, is doing something actively, doing something good for you, doing something which has a meaning for you. And this is not easy to replace that just within weeks or whatever. And it's also, I would say, in a six-weeks process, as you are in now, Bryson, you do not need to find a new hobby. It's also okay in the very first couple of weeks to just chill out, relax, and do whatever. But if the process goes longer, then you need to. Then this is getting much more important. And yeah, a couple of weeks, a bit of more Netflix doesn't kill you. But it's also important. It's also then important to not watch Netflix until 4 o'clock in the morning, as we said, come back to prioritize your sleep. Watch your Netflix on from 10 in the morning to lunchtime or whatever. I want to go back on that, Pascal. That is, I think it's very, very important. It's also why you love sports and why you're doing that and being like kept away from it. This is one side of the mental thing. But other is you're going to different stages of always grief. Why that happened to me? Oh, what I did wrong? Can I come back? Will I be that strong again? Or I'm feared when I come back on the bike. Is this the right doctor? Or what is about that treatment? Should I operate? Should I do surgery or not? There is so much stuff which goes on in your brain when you do going through that process. And you have a lot of time. And normally in your normal life, we do not have a lot of time. And And then the brain goes nuts. And therefore, to keep you sane and also to keep you calm, you have to accept that this has an effect on your mental health, on your psychological things which are going on in your head. This is first thing you have to accept that, and you have to be aware of it. And you have to also recognize, okay, now I'm really afraid. Today I feel really bad. My foot is terrible. This has an effect on me. Pain has an effect. Insecurity has an effect. All these things are very important to just be aware of and to bring it in connection, because this is not a separated system. This system is connected. We cannot imagine how it is, how crazy connected it is. Like your brain, your gut feeling, your whatever, your fears to somehow to your body, and pain and inflammation and all that stuff. It's one system. We are one system, and we have to accept that there has these two aspects of physiological and psychological things on it. And it's also okay if you feel really bad that you talk about it, that you tell somebody. And even if you go to get some help, it's quite difficult to get some help out there from professionals, because they're really busy, because our whole society is going nuts. Mm-hmm. But it is important that you talk and that you say, I am feeling insecure. How I gone back on the bike? And oh yeah, Dave said in the podcast that my lower leg is weak. And what happened? What's happening now? And no, I don't want to. What I did wrong? Or I'm weak? You know what I mean? You know where I try to do as an example. Your brain drives you crazy, and this is not helping your recovery process. You have to be on a positive way. You don't have to be stand up every morning and praise to the birds and think, oh, life is perfect. No, it isn't. You're injured, but it will be okay. And you will invest and you will do as much as you can to be good, to be back good. And if it's not good, it's meant to be. And then I find another way, and perhaps I'll go to be the best singer in my chorus group or whatever. There is always another way. And I had times in my life, which mountain biking is really a thing for me, which is, it's an important thing. It's a passion. And there were several points over the last 10 years, which I do not know, or I'm going to be back on the bike, or I'm able to be back on the bike. And in the beginning, it was real tough, because it was not only that, it was all, what's then happening to me? Because yeah, my company was named all about MTB. What the fuck? What should I do? and yeah, this is really something, and I had to accept that. And the crazy thing is, as soon as you accept things and let the stuff go and let like the fear be there but not influencing it, all infiltrating or poisoning your other thoughts, as soon as you start realizing that and working with that, talking about that, it's going to be better. And it's not overnight. It's a process. And healing itself or recovery is a process. And you have to accept this process, and you have to be your own master of that process with all the help you can get around you. And if you do that, and if you accept that, I'm pretty sure that you can master it. There are guys out there, I knew guys which should, when you look at what happened to these guys, they should be dead 10 times. And some of them, one story where I want to give a shoot out, there's a guy in the Engadin, he's now doing, he had like 95% burned by a work accident. He was like really fighting for his life for months, even years. And now he is doing triathlon on a very, very good level. And this is so inspiring. His body is more or less like one big scar. And when he's standing up in the morning, he has to do mobility for half an hour to move normally, because it is so dense. You cannot imagine what this guy was going through his mindset, his life, his trauma. He burned. He was burned. The trauma, because also that every injury leaves a trauma in you, even this little one. When you see a basketball, Bryson, you will be always reminded on that crack. That's there. That's somewhere memorized. But yes, sure, to go back on the other guy, the triathlon guy, this is amazing. And there are stories out there from people who are doing sports with no arms, with no legs, whatever. That should just give you, that shouldn't minimize your own experience, but that should give you so much hope and confidence that you can master your own process. And we could go deep dive on that, but I think it's all right. Bryson, how is it for you to listen now to Pascal and myself talking of so many things? And
how are the notes going?
I had to flip the page. Yeah, so a lot of those points I hit, and a lot of them I keep in mind. In terms of the for the health and the physical parts, in terms of the psychological part, I'm very confident that I will return to the bike. There's no doubt. I'm not doubting myself in that way. I am concerned about the length of time it will take, because from what I've gathered from, I mean, I have a doctor visit tomorrow, and I've been going to physio regularly, and he's been, you know, working with me and giving me feedback on how it's going. But I don't have, and I'm comparing this to kind of information and systems that I use when I wasn't injured to understand what's going on around me. And that is like feedback to understand how long things will take, or what is like the duration normally of these things. Of course, when it comes to something like this, everybody's individual. And so even if the ankle break was on a similar individual to me, same age and build and everything, same down to the micrometer fracture, we'll still heal differently. Maybe he won't have the inflammation or swelling, but maybe he'll have bad circulation, or maybe he would wouldn't have the range of mobility that I have now, but I still have the swelling. So what I was trying to get at is, like, I'm concerned about how long it will take, because before speaking with you guys, I was at the point where I was feeling quite confident about, like, okay, I was taking steps, and now I'm walking better, and now I'm looking forward to, like, when my physio tells me I can do weight-bearing exercises or more complex stretching and movements, increasing my range of mobility and all these things. But the swelling hasn't gone down. I mean, it's gone down considerably, but it's still swollen. Like, when you look at them side by side, it looks like someone else's foot at the end of my leg. So...
yeah, but
that's
why,
the question.
Why is it so
how long it will take?
Yeah, why do you need to know? Why is it so important to you?
This is one of the problems of my life. This is one of the things. No, I encounter this everywhere I go, and no matter what I do, work, fun, speaking with friends, dealing with family, it doesn't matter. It's one of these topics that I'm always obsessive about. Like, how long will this take? And so it goes back right into the subconscious. You know, it's not especially focused on this healing process.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is what occupies my mind in terms of this whole thing. Primarily. Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. I think I would get a little bit of relief if there was some kind of tool or a soothsayer that could just say, by this day, you will be able to do this, and by this day, you will be able to get back on your bike.
Is it a search for security? Is it a search for clarity?
Control,
what it
probably.
Is when you try to ask...
It's like one of
ask...
these typical, therapist questions, right? It's always the control.
Control, yeah. It is. It goes in that way, yeah.
The fear of losing control.
But what gives you control when you know that by X date, it's going to be better? What you have control over is what you do right here and right now and how you deal with the, you know, all the different challenges, you know, the physio, the doctor, the stretching, the resting, the diet, the sleeping, the cooling, the all the other things. You can control those,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, that gives you the control to maybe be faster than whatever date they put in front of you, or slower if you're not being so disciplined. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I you know, generally that's my mindset and my downfall when it comes to injuries, right? So a doctor tells me it's going to be 6 weeks. I'm going to be like, I can do this in 4.
Boom.
Right? And you know, that's again, you know, that's the mindset of you know, if you, again, you know, coming back to the example with the pushing against the pain and how much can you bear, it's that kind of stuff, right? So and then of course when someone tells you, is like, look, technically there's nothing wrong, it's just how much can you grit your teeth. Well, I'm gonna outgrit that guy, so of course I'm gonna grit my teeth and you know, and just deal with it. And that has generally been the source of a lot of follow-on issues, and that I'm still dealing with today.
And look, I'm cautious to not go too deep, but our mindsets, we are like a product of what we all experienced over our life and what kind of experiences, influences, growing up, parents, all that stuff. We don't need to go into detail. But the mindset from Pascal is totally different than the mindset from Bryson, which is like given. Some stuff is given, but what you're doing with it is, it's totally adaptable, because one of the things you can control, and I would say that's the only thing you really can control, is your mindset and how you think, your thoughts. And if you think bad, there will be bad stuff happening. And if you think positive, or try to be in a more positive way, or also when if you say to yourself, Bryson, okay, yeah, somehow it's very important how long this takes, but there is other, I try to not focus too much on that, that you're not giving yourself shit because of that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that Pascal is also realizing, okay, why I need to outperform what the doctor said? I know you now a little bit, and it's no surprise to me that that's your approach. And but I also have my own like traps which I was fall in, and but for me it was patience. I was not patient enough to give myself time. And that's why my body, and this is also when I look back, my body gave myself so much signals. Hey, buddy, rest up. Take it easy. There were years which I was living in Engadine for 10 years, and I never rode in the autumn. Because I was always injured in the autumn. Because I didn't rest up enough. And then injuries are going to happen because I wasn't taking care. But back to you, what you said, Bryson, that's so important for you, that you know. We could deep dive now into psychological questions and stuff like that. But I think for you, perhaps, for you personally, in a circle of trust, and definitely not a podcast, it would be perhaps interesting to find that out. And perhaps this injury is something which you can learn for life, for other life lessons, which can help you in other parts of life. Just as a thought, this is not something which needs to be, but I think injuries and stuff like that, I try to see that they never happen just for nothing. I tried always to get something out of it. And I learned by every injury, I learned at least something. And I didn't went out stronger, but sometimes I was after that a bit wiser. And I think that's the beauty of age. not always blaming age. The beauty of age is you know more about yourself and you know more about things. And perhaps, Bryson, accept that challenge that you will not know when it's good. And don't force yourself, because if you force yourself, if you're a professional athlete and time is money, or you have this big event coming up which you really want to perform, yeah, then try everything. But these people, these guys are not rushing into it. Then they prioritize their sleep even more. They prioritize their food even more. They put all the science out there into to heal better. For average people like us, this is not really needed. And why it's so important if you're on a bike in June or July? If you do that properly, that process. Yeah, I know in June, I'll shoot out to the Skits and Giggles ride. I think it is in June. Obviously, it would be amazing to ride there. But at the end of the day, if you're just there drinking beers and being wise and not pushing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. But if you would stay at home crying into your bed sheets and saying, oh, I'm the poorest guy of the world because of a basketball incident, I cannot go to my Skits and Giggles rides, then it affects your life in a bad way. But yeah, just take the throw. They throw shit at you, just throw it back and make a good thing out of it. And put it on out on the meadow and the meadow will grow. Sorry, that's not a really stupid expression, but you know what I mean. No, but this is something, this is what I had to learn. This is very something, this is something which really comes, that's perhaps a bit more energy I put into that, because as long as you're getting back, it doesn't matter when you're coming back. And there are things which are, why is this mattering so much to me? Or why is this so important to me? If just the life take a little change, this thing will not be important for you anymore. And this just give you some relevance to it. And why forcing yourself, why feeling not good about not knowing when you're back? It gives you perspective. Or I try to tell you that to matter thing in a different way. It gives you perspective and it gives you a relief and it gives you peace. And the more peace you have in your mind, the more energy you have to heal. That's closing back on it.
I saw you going there, actually. Right before you said it, I also popped into my mind, perspective. And then it ties in with what Pascal was saying is, you can control certain things. I can't control the answer about when I can come back, but I can control how well I prepare myself, how well I rest, sleep, coordinate, all these things. And when I change the perspective of concentrating on delivering those day-to-day things best I can, perhaps this whole fear of control and knowing when it will finish will disappear, because I'm just simply concentrating on what matters and what's going to help me. And maybe I realize that that's bringing me something, or maybe I'm just so focused on that instead of just being obsessed about something, overthinking, what am I doing? One of the questions that came from one of the speak pipes was from Felix. a comedic one, but nonetheless, also very pointed and interesting. The main takeaway was, what is your plan to come back from injury? And so I actually came to the podcast tonight prepared to want to discover that, or maybe even discuss it with you guys. But actually, I don't think it should be a plan to come back from injury, because, I mean, it's going to happen. Maybe I should really change the perspective and make it something else that I can, as you said, Dave, learn from and become better from. And then that is the plan. And the recovery will happen based on that. So it's kind of like the racer trains and he does the preparation for everything that's involved in the race. And the outcome will come from that. But he or she is not focused on just being number one. It's, this is what I need to do to get this lap time. And if that lap time is the fastest lap time of the day, then he wins. So maybe I should take that approach.
Yeah. Don't stress yourself too much. And you said one thing which I just want to pick up. Perhaps you said, okay, when you focus on that, then the fear and the other concerns, they will disappear. They will go slower. They will not disappear. And that's important to know, because our mind is always with things which are like, they're like motorways. And if you feed these motorways for many years, they are not just fading away. But you have to be aware of it, that you need to build the new motorways of thinking, that these nerves go stronger and the other ones go weaker. That means like the concerns and the stressing out and to look at the date and the doctor said in 2 weeks, but it's not working. Then you need always, every day, day to day, no, I want to focus on the other things. And this is something, this is the hard part of it, to do that over and over and over again. And I do not want to say to anybody, hey, to disappoint or to put away motivation. But these are the things which normally people are not telling you. They're coming back. That's the same with mental health issues. You can be so good and you have one trigger and pop, it pulls you back. And it's the same in this injury process. It's up and down. It's not a linear thing. It's not something which goes straight, slowly, slow and steady up. It goes up and down, up and down. But the more you invest, the more balance you try to do, you try to be in, the more progress you will make over time. And body is a fascinating thing, and don't let it interrupt from the mind too much. This is really important, I would say. That's really important. And then you have to exactly do what you did, what you said, Bryson, focusing, learning, and focusing on this, on the things you can on a day-to-day basis. And there are 7 days a week, and every morning the sun goes up again, and you have every day a new chance to do it. And if one day is not a good day, next day will be better. And I think small steps. The racer needs to focus on this run and not on the whole season. If he stresses out on the whole season, Finals will say hello, then you fuck it up at the end of the day. And this is important. You have to have a big goal, but you have to take small steps. And it's the same in the injury process or in the recovery process, 100%.
Well, I put in my notes an input to say, wrap up. If you had to write a handbook for dealing with and coming back from injury for your younger self, what would you put down? But I think we're going to make the short version of that, and we're going to say our top tip. And I think we can boil it down to one concept. Shall I go first?
So yes,
you have,
sir,
some more time. Trust the process.
What about develop a process?
Yeah. For me, it would be patient. Take your time. That would be, don't stress and be aware. It's already two sentences.
Take your time in an ever speeding up and ever accelerating world.
Be patient with yourself. Don't stress out. I think for me, the mental game, my personal thing, the mental game is more important than the physio. But that's personal.
I can subscribe to this idea because I'm not afraid of the physicality part. I think I'm lucky enough to have a physique that is going to allow me to carry on for a little bit longer and even develop some. So that's my thinking. So like the psychological part is definitely where I'm going to be focusing more. So it's the perspective, it's the process, it's the patience. Triple P. This is the summary.
Triple P
of the podcast.
There we go. No, but joking aside, of course, the mental is part of the process, right? So you kind of need to find a way to bring those puzzle pieces together of patience, the mental side, the right professionals, the right people around you, the right recovery, the right sleep, the right diet, the right everything. And
at the right time.
And the right time. And the rest will follow, right? So, and those things you can control, and everything else doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm. But guys, I just realized we need to do another one, because the whole prevention thing, when the work is starting, as soon as the doctor says a go, this part, we just left it out. We need
Tune in next week.
Tune in next week.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
That's so good.
Yeah, no, but that's, we're joking now, but that, of course, is a very, very important part, right? So it's kind of the injury prevention.
Okay. But I give you a shootout for a guy who wasn't on the podcast until now. Arno Galmarini, personal coach, enduro rider. He has his own gym. He's a performance athlete coach. He's very, very passionate about mountain biking. And I have now a training plan from him. And this guy is amazing. This guy is really amazing. And he understands the body, the mindset, everything, longevity. He's not a rehab guy, but he's a performance guy. And he would be perfect guy to talk about things like that. Much better than I would ever be, for sure, 100%, 1,000 times. You need to have him on the podcast and talk about things like that, because people will benefit out there. He also have an amazing training program, like an app which you could, he's you can be everywhere where you want, and he's coaching you with that app. Really cool. Sorry, I didn't want to do some advertising, but this just came up my mind. That's the guy for that topic.
Okay, very good. We shall make it happen. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to add, or shall we wrap it up? I mean,
just want to say thanks to everyone who shout out on the SpeakPipe. That was really appreciated. We did get a lot from that, and it was really nice to hear from the people who are tuning into the podcast, and hopefully we'll see some of your faces out at the ride. Skidsandgiggles.com/ride.
16th of June in Tune. That has a nice ring to it. All right. Dave, thank you very much for your time.
It was a pleasure, Dave.
That's great. Now, good. Thank you, guys. It was good to be on again. This hour just flew by, and yeah, it's always cool to talk to you guys, and so honest, and no, it's cool. It's really cool. And I like to talk to you guys.
Likewise.
Thanks for listening. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. Why don't you let us know what you think? We really like to hear from our listeners. To find out how to get in touch with us, follow the links to our website in the description, or find us on Instagram under @skitsandgiggles. Until next time, skigglers.